execution. So you can't leave all your hands on there just because you moved, and it's 12 months?
I'd have to read to see if it's the same. Or is it just, yeah, I don't know.
I believe it's just 12 months.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, there's nothing about new jurisdiction or anything.
All right, case number 5, 21-450. Who's the appellant here? Are you an attorney?
I am.
Okay. I'll get you in a second. All right, Attorney Salas, one more time, can you please identify yourself and your witness for the record?
Yes, my name is Attorney Cynthia Salas. I represent the Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection in this revocation hearing, and my witness is Officer Alexander Gigas of the Wallingford Police Department.
And I see that is spelled G-I-G-A-S.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Counsel, can you please identify yourself for the record?
Attorney David J. Cutillo on behalf of the appellant.
Can you spell your last name?
C-U-T-I-L-L-O.
Thank you, Attorney Cutillo.
I'd just like to put on record, I do know Attorney Cutillo. He was my son's rifle coach back in the late 80s. He also did some work for the business I now manage a while ago. So I'd like to put on record, be happy to recuse myself if he gets
that. I have no objection.
I always just
it's
like
a small state.
It is, I know, but I just like to put it on record.
Spell your name one more time for me, please.
C-U-T-I-L-L-O.
Okay, thank you.
Do you need something in your file for him?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to need like an appearance letter from you.
I can take care of that too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Attorney Salas, would you like to make an opening statement?
I do not have an opening today.
Okay, Attorney Cutillo, would you like to make an opening statement?
Briefly, I'd just like to say it's my great honor to be before this board, particularly on behalf of this young man. This was an incident which I'm not going to belabor my opening statement because I want you to hear from him directly. And if you do have questions for him, I encourage you to ask them. It's a young man who had a lapse in judgment, who left a firearm in a restroom, or he ought not to have. He has had some time to consider the consequences of that. He takes it very seriously. This is not a young man who's ever been accused of any acts of violence, threatening, anything like that. Again, I don't want to belabor it. I want him to tell you what happened and where it's gone, but I do believe he's suitable. I represented him on the underlying criminal matter. I've known him for a number of years, and I'm hopeful that once you have a chance to speak to him and hear from him, you'll feel the same way.
Thank you, counsel. Attorney Salas, you may proceed with your case.
Yeah. Officer Gigas, would you please state and spell your name for the board?
It's Officer Alexander Gigas. Last name is G-I-G-A-S.
And where are you currently employed, sir?
The town of Wallingford.
And what do you do there?
I'm a patrol officer.
And how long have you been employed as a patrol officer?
8.5 years.
And were you working as an officer with the Wallingford Police Department on October 19, 2020?
Yes, I was.
And what was your position at the time?
I was a patrolman.
Okay. And were you dispatched to a call regarding a firearm being left in a public restroom?
Yes, I was.
Can you describe for the board where you were dispatched to?
I was dispatched to the Corner Cafe, located on Route 68, just a bar in that plaza.
Okay. Would you describe it as a restaurant and bar?
I believe it's just a bar.
Okay.
I don't believe they serve food, so I'd say it's just a bar.
Okay. Now, who did you meet when you got there?
I was met there by the caller, who was a cleaning company that is hired by the establishment.
Okay. And what did you learn when you met with that individual?
When he came in that morning and started cleaning the business, they were not open. And he went into the men's restroom and found a handgun on the urinal.
Okay. And what did you do next after you learned that?
I briefly spoke with the caller who was there, and then I had dispatch run the serial number on the firearm to see if I could figure out who was the owner of it.
And did you figure that out?
Yes, I did.
Who was the owner?
The owner was the appellant.
The appellant, okay. And looking over to my right, is the appellant sitting here with his attorney today?
I believe so. I did not have any physical interaction with him that day, so.
Okay. What did you do next after you learned that it was the appellant's firearm?
I contacted him on the cell phone number that was given to me on the state police records for the firearm and for his permit.
Okay.
And I spoke with him on the phone.
And what, can you explain for the board, describe for the board that interaction over the telephone?
I spoke with the appellant on the phone briefly about basically just what happened, why the firearm was at the restaurant at that time, and just briefly about the circumstances surrounding that. And I was attempting to get him to come into the police department to speak with me.
Okay. And what was his response to you?
He said that he had gone there after he left his employer, which is a little bit down the street in Wallingford, and he was going to go there for a drink and went to the bathroom and put the firearm on the urinal and then forgot it there.
Okay. And were you able to ever successfully meet in person with the appellant?
No, there were conflicts between his job, and then there were times when I wasn't working, so we did not meet in person.
Okay. And ultimately, did you take the appellant's permit also?
I don't think I physically took it. I believe it may have been taken later on.
Okay.
By a different officer, but I don't recall actually physically taking it myself.
Okay. Going back to the gun being left in the restroom, did you get an explanation from the appellant as to why he left it there?
Somewhat. He just said that he put it on the urinal. He said he didn't generally carry it in a holster, and it just ended up on the urinal.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Okay, counsel, would you like to cross-examine?
Briefly, if I may. Good morning, officer. Thank you for being here. To the best of your knowledge, has your department had any negative interactions with the appellant since that arrest on January 14th of 2021?
I have no knowledge of anything, no.
Nothing.
Does the board have any questions? Chief?
What time was the call that the gun was found?
It was, I believe, around 7:30 in the morning.
And what time was it left on the urinal?
I do not know the exact time, but it was in the air. It was late at night, the night prior, when the establishment was open.
Prior to the call, it's about 7:30 a.m. Did the appellant call and report his gun stolen?
I do not have any knowledge
of
that.
Or lost or missing or?
No, sir.
And when you talked to him, was he aware that he had left it on the urinal?
Yes.
So from late at night, the previous night, till 7:30 in the morning, you're implying that the appellant knew he left the gun in a bathroom, in a bar, but didn't take any action to report it to the police?
Correct. No, no action that I'm aware of.
Did you ask him about that?
I don't think I specifically asked him that. It was just my first interaction with him on
the phone.
It just
seems like a long time to not realize where your gun is. I mean, and did he seem to be aware that the gun was at the bar when you talked to him? Or did you tell him the gun was at the bar?
I don't recall exactly how the conversation went, but I believe that I explained to him that I, you know, I had the firearm and it was found at that bar.
Other questions by the board?
Just to clarify, was the appellant aware that the firearm was missing? Do you recall?
He was aware that he didn't have it in his possession anymore when I talked to him.
Okay. And where was he when you talked to him, if you recall?
I believe he was at home, or he might have been at home. I don't remember exactly where he was when I talked with him, but he was not. You know, he was not at the bar trying to get it back or anything.
Did Dr. Conrad have a question?
Yeah, but this is for the attorney representing the department. Our packet included information on two DUIs. Are they part of your suitability claim or not?
They are not, because he indicated so in his application to the board, I would have the board take notice of it.
Thank you.
Other questions?
just on the list of criminal matters, VOP S3A-32 says pending. Any description of what that is, or it's part of?
I was going to ask the appellant about that. I believe that matter has been resolved in court, and so I was going to ask him about that.
Did we get to what kind of, I may have missed it. What kind of firearm was this?
I believe it was a Glock, yeah, I don't.
And was it loaded?
It had, I believe there was no round in the chamber. The magazine had ammunition in it, if I recall correctly.
I think evidence said it was a Glock 26, 10-round mag with 10 rounds.
Mm-hmm. That sounds accurate.
Other questions? Any follow-up questions based on our questions?
No, but may I raise a point of clarification?
Sure.
As to his convictions? My understanding is he has availed himself of the AEP and has a single DUI conviction, not two DUI convictions. The violation of probation stems from the arrest that is at issue here. That has been resolved. He has successfully completed his probation.
The VOP was in the reckless endangerment or the DUI case?
So the reckless endangerment was the violation of the probation that stemmed from the DUI.
Gotcha. All right. Any other witnesses?
So same as last time, I was going to call the appellant unless his attorney calls him first, and then I can cross him.
Seemed pretty clear he is going
to
call you.
I do intend to. Yes.
Okay. All right. So you want to hold off?
Sure.
Okay. No other witnesses?
No other witnesses.
Okay. Counsel, you may proceed with your case.
Sure. Briefly, and again, don't use your name, we'll refer to you as the appellant. Very briefly, just give us a little background on your education work and your life leading up to the incident.
Absolutely. First, I would just like to apologize to you guys all, just for the case that matter. I feel really, really bad. I was previously, before all this, I was a TSA employee. I'm currently still paying that debt as well. I went to University of New Haven. My bachelor's degree is in criminal justice, concentration in international justice and security. I'm one class short from having my minor in sociology. I built a name for myself. I hold myself on integrity of what I stand for. And this is tough. This hurts. For me, this is defamation of my character, and it's obviously due to my actions. I don't blame anyone else. And, you know, it was hard after my DUI. I was stripped from my badge and stuff like that. And they said they couldn't trust me anymore due to technicalities. And I didn't find that fair, but I still dealt with that. And, you know, I was losing track of time. Time was going by fast. I was able to slow that down after all this. And really just have the 2 years to just dissect everything down, every decision I made beyond that night. And it still resonates with me to this day. You know, family looks at you a certain way, you know, because I held myself to a high standard and I've worked for it and I earned a lot of it. I've earned all of it. It's unfortunate that it has come to here, but I've sat for a long time just thinking about my actions.
Thank you. And can you tell us just a little bit your interpretation of what happened and why? What brought you to that position? How did that happen?
What, for that night or?
Yeah, for the night in question.
So I was working. I was covering a double, so I was there from open, and I got out around 10:30-ish, and I went with a ride. Wanted to stop there. We stopped there for one drink right before they pretty much shut down. It's right down the street. On my way home, we get one. I go to the restroom before everything locks up, and then I just got to go home. I put keys, wallet, everything on my dresser. I have to get up early in the morning. Everything just felt normal. I wake up and I'm searching. I'm like, wait, you're getting ready to go for work? And I'm like, I'm missing my phone, keys, wallet, gun. I have to do my checklist, and it wasn't there. And I'm like, wait, what? And as I'm frantic in that moment, I get a call from Officer Gagas, right?
Yes.
And I'm sorry.
It's
and,
all right.
And he asked me first, are you missing anything? And I said, yes. You know, he didn't say any other words. I knew what he was referencing. I didn't know what I was missing, and I didn't know that it was a big deal. Asked me if I can come down. Well, I have to go to work, and I know this matter will extend. I can't just simply say hi, exchange info, and go back to work. You know, I need to make money. I need to pay for these loans. I need to really, you know, handle my own. And I was, I was following his orders and his directions. I was compliant. We met on a later date because my work schedule and his work schedule, and I would like to thank you for not coming to my job and doing that for me, because, you know, that could ruin your integrity and your name in a town like that. And I work with the town, so it's important. You know, it's a customer service type of thing, so if I have a bad name, people won't come and see me, you know, and see my business and what we do.
And the last thing I want to ask you, and then we'll see if anyone has questions for you, is basically what has changed? Why do you feel you're suitable, and why do you want this?
You know, and life happens fast. You know, I gave up my dreams of sports and chasing that. I chose to have a career, and then you lose it. And then you're sitting there, and you're like, who are you? What are you? Who do you want to be? And, you know, it's just, life's simple. And especially through COVID, the world shut down. I couldn't apply for new jobs. I couldn't do a lot of things. I was just stuck, you know, and it really soaked, and I really just stood back, sat on my principles, kept my chin up, and understand, I just want to get a good job, make a lot of money, you know, provide for my family and build a family that my parents can be proud of, and know that my name goes longer than theirs, and it will continue to go with, you know, the proper principles that they instilled in me.
Thank you very much. I have nothing further.
Attorney South.
Thank you. Appellant, do you know that carrying a firearm while under the influence is a misdemeanor in the state of Connecticut?
I do, and I was.
And you were drinking that night while carrying your firearm?
I was not under the influence that night.
Okay. How do you keep your gun secure if you do not have a holster?
I do have a holster. However, sometimes I would I would have it in between my leather tactical belt.
You would just have it in your belt, you say?
Correct.
Okay.
A specific kind of belt?
It was a leather tactical belt that I would use.
Okay, and when you use that belt, that means when you use the restroom, you have to place the gun somewhere else other than your body?
Correct.
Okay. Now, in your packet to the board, you admit to two DUIs, which your attorney clarified that one of them was erased. But is it correct that you did admit to two DUIs in your packet to the board?
Correct.
And can you describe those two incidents for the board so they're aware of the facts behind them?
The first one, I was 19, young and learning, made and it hit a parked car. Second one, it was just a year off from it being expunged, and I was just going through a rough moment with a female. I wasn't really thinking right, I guess, but that's not the point. The point was I had an 18-wheeler from behind, and my car turned into a convertible. You know, I was inside four doors, safe, Sentra, and I was outside, and I smelled the airbags. You know, my golf clubs are across, baseball stuff's all over the highway. I'm bleeding. It was a tough moment, but I learned a lot, and it made me a better person. It really did, and helped slow things down. And I might have lost my job temporarily at CSA, but I know I became a better person and I can contribute to society still.
How long ago was that incident?
On the third year going on.
3 years ago? Okay,
correct.
Thank you.
2020. It was 2020.
2020.
Okay. And did you plead guilty to reckless endangerment for a January 14, 2020 incident?
Correct.
And can you describe for the board the nature of that incident?
That is for the incident here where I've left my firearm in a bathroom mistakenly.
I thought you got AR for that incident and then you violated probation with reckless endangerment. Is that incorrect?
That is incorrect. May I clarify? He was, before my involvement, you had already completed an AEP.
Yeah.
So he had an AEP. I became involved because he picked up a DUI, which was then a first-time conviction DUI. So there was no AR involved anywhere because of, he was not AR eligible because of previous things. So he was given a suspended sentence on the reckless, I want to reckless two, not reckless one, and was given probation. So, or excuse me, he was probation on the DUI first offense, then he fully suspended sentence, unconditional discharge on the reckless two, but picking up that arrest violated the 18 months probation from the 2020 DUI.
I have no further questions from Helen.
What occurred first, because of the conviction dates versus the incident dates, the DUI
correct
in 2020 or the incident in which you electrified fire?
The DUI happened first.
Okay, how much, what's the time frame?
It was probably around maybe like 6 months prior.
Okay.
I believe it was August. He was sentenced in August 2020 on the DUI, and then the arrest for the reckless was January 14th, 2021.
So the incident occurred in October 2020 in the bar, correct?
21. The arrest for the bar, I believe, I can reference, it was January 14th, 2021, I believe.
I'm just going by the case report, so now the case report's off.
We have
the judicial has it on 2020.
We have a date of October 19, 2020 in our packet.
Per judicial, the arrest for the reckless, the original arrest date was January 14th, 2021. The sentencing date was April 12th, 2021.
Which is why I think it was a different incident.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just going by the case, so that's what's cool. He was arrested by warrant?
He was arrested.
For the reckless? Which would,
I believe so.
So the October 19th, 2020 date could be correct if he was arrested on January 14th.
I have reviewed judicial. All I am aware of in his entire criminal history is the AEP, the DUI conviction, the violation of probation, which stemmed from his picking up the January 14th arrest. To my knowledge, that is his record.
I'm just trying to figure out when did the incident occur at the bar, the actual date.
So per judicial, the arrest date on that was January 14th, 2020.
Yeah, but what day did the incident occur?
Because he October.
Was that, all right, so he was, the incident occurred
October.
Not October.
Oh, October.
I see what
you're saying. Yes, because all the paperwork came late.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, the arrest,
was
yeah,
weird.
Yeah,
I was
warrant,
almost
warrant,
caught by surprise.
Yeah, the warrant occurred a couple, yeah. So the incident at the bar occurred in October of 2020. When was the incident with the tractor trailer? About 6 months later, 6 months
that
prior?
That was January, February.
We have a date of February 22, 2020
yep.
for one of the DUIs.
Yep, that's
okay,
the day.
So that occurred after this incident.
The DUI happened prior to that incident.
Okay.
The,
all right.
My understanding
gotcha.
Is his last arrest was
yep.
the reckless.
Yep. I was just the dates were okay. That's the arrest date's different than the incident. That's what I was
gotcha.
Okay. And where were you working when you left your gun in the bathroom?
I was working at Double Play Cafe,
okay,
which is in Wallingford,
yep,
down the street.
And that's where you were going to work the next day also?
Correct.
And what do you do there?
I'm a server.
Okay.
And
that was your position?
Then, as well.
Not security or anything like that?
No.
I'm just trying to figure out. So
I was working two jobs, so I would leave the bar in the morning at like 1:30, 2, and I'd go to work at 4:30 most days. I didn't work that day though. I wasn't working at the airport or TSA.
No, the day of the incident when you left your gun though, but you were working that prior to that because you had your firearm on you.
Yep.
I'm just trying to figure out what your position was at the bar. Because you said you carry your firearm, so you're carrying your firearm at the bar. Is that part of your work there?
Yeah, I mean, I work with, I'm generally the only male there, and we close, and we have registers, we have safe, we have stuff like that. People drink alcohol, sometimes they change, stuff like that. So I just, I just had it for just safety, protection, what, things of that nature, but never needed it or used it or anything.
And it was sort of a routine for you to carry it every day?
Every day. That was my routine.
And concern is your routine when you get home that night, you don't realize your firearms are missing.
Yeah, I was pushing myself with work a little bit too much, just trying to squeeze too much in a time. There's only 24 hours in a day. And so I was just trying to go to sleep, wake up, I gotta go do a bust another double. And that was just a lack on my part, time management.
So,
another chief?
I just want to see if I got, because we've got the dates all messed up here. You had a DUI in 2013, received the alcohol education program. You had to go to classes?
Yep.
Is that true?
Yes, sir.
And you successfully completed those classes?
Correct.
And then you reoffended in 2020, another DUI. This time, because it was your second DUI, you got a conviction, which in effect is a first offense because the other one went away. Okay.
Can we have an answer just for the record? You're nodding your head.
Yeah, sorry.
Then October 2020, you had the incident where you left the gun in the bathroom of the bar, and you had been drinking that night.
I was working that night. I was not drinking prior to going into that establishment. I left my job.
I got that. Actually, I did have that question. Were you drinking at work in your previous place?
No.
Well, you did drink in the I forgot the name of the bar.
The corner. I had a beer, correct.
So you had a beer?
A beer.
Is that okay? Are you carrying a gun?
Ideally, no. It didn't put me over the limit, but it did alter my judgment in that case, unfortunately.
So do you think having one, I'm looking for your
opinion. No, one wouldn't do that, but I don't think you should drink and carry.
All right. The way I look at this
one
is
beer
over
would...
the period from 2013 to today, a 10-year period, you've had three incidents involving alcohol that we know of, two DUIs and the gun incident where you, in effect, lost control of your weapon for at least 8-10 hours, from the night to the morning. Have you been treated for alcohol use and abuse?
No, just the classes that I've taken.
And any other treatment, AA or anything like that? Would you say you're an alcoholic?
No. I do not. I've battled those issues. I wouldn't say issues, but those judgments and those type of lifestyle changes as well. So, no, I wouldn't say I'm an alcoholic.
Has alcohol ever been a problem in your life?
I think it, not a problem, but it was misused.
No, it's been a problem. You had two DUIs, and you lost your gun after having a drink in a bar.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
When was the last time you had any alcohol to drink?
Easter.
So that was
two
Sunday?
Weeks last week. Yeah.
When was the last time you were drunk?
Drunk. Drunk that night. Of the accident.
In 2020? How much did you drink on Easter?
I had two beers.
Did you drive?
I did not.
Did you have a gun?
I did not.
When was the last time you had a gun, you carried a gun, and had even one drink?
October 2020.
When was the last time you had a drink and drove a car, any amount of alcohol?
That was February 14th. I spend a lot of money, Ubering around and stuff like that. I don't get behind the wheel. I don't allow my friends to get behind the wheel. I seen death and I don't want to see it again. It scared me for a while, but I've learned from it and. Gone back to my principles and the characters that I've built on to make sure that I don't steer from wrong judgment and make sure that I do make the right decision, every day as
much
as I try.
But your actions haven't showed us that. Over time, you had the DUI, and then you lost your gun.
I understand that. There's a big gap between those instances, and it took me 6 years maybe to slip up, but it's not okay. but I work every day to make sure that I make those decisions, and I make sure that the people around me try to make the right decisions as well.
You're asking the board to trust that you will not slip up within the next 6 years?
I will not slip up again.
Would you have said that back in 2013?
I would, but the innocence and the sincerity of it is real, you know? Life throws curveballs, and I'm just trying to stay at bat.
All right, thanks.
Other questions? Ms. Johnson?
When did you first get your permit?
I got it 2017, I believe, or 18.
Okay, so it was 3 years before you were fully revoked, or were you revoked under the DWI?
No, it wasn't revoked due to the DWI.
So it was revoked for the missing your firearm?
Correct.
Okay. Did you...
Because I didn't have my firearm.
Did you have your firearm safety course?
Yeah.
Okay, did it teach you anything about carrying firearms? And what did it teach you?
They tell me the laws. They tell me not to do that.
So you would say you were carrying contrary to what you were taught?
No. No, every day I was not drinking and driving. I was not drinking and carrying every day. That's, even though there is a couple instances of alcohol on my record, it does not reflect 365 days of the year. I was not doing so. I was carrying it with integrity. I was carrying it sober. I was carrying it following the law.
When you were taking classes, did you learn to have a gun holstered or stuck in your waistband?
No, I learned how to have it.
May I clarify that? It was not a mere belt. It was a tactical belt. This is a product designed for that purpose. I just like to clarify.
A tactical belt that has a holster within it?
My understanding is a tactical belt designed for bolt guns. I haven't seen it physically, but it's not just a leather belt.
It's
a product.
Yeah.
What kind of product?
It has
your level of description.
It just has like an extra loop, like a little loop for the barrel that it just sticks in, and due to the tightness of the belt, it just kind of holds it.
Okay.
Thank you. Other questions? Sir, did you take the breathalyzer when you were arrested in the DUI in 2020?
No.
You didn't take it? Did you take the breathalyzer in 2013?
Yes.
Do you remember what you blew?
Lots.
Could you tell us?
I think I don't remember. It was almost double, 0.0. The first time when I was 19, yeah.
Why didn't you take the breathalyzer in 2020?
I was in shock. I was more just excited to be alive and understand that I was able to move forward from the situation. That was my concern. I passed everything else. I didn't need to.
Did you go to the hospital?
No.
The firearm incident at the Corner Cafe. What time did you get to the Corner Cafe?
A little bit after 10:30.
And what time did you leave?
I would say a little before midnight.
And you had one beer during that time?
Yeah.
Is it possible you had more?
No.
All right. Does anybody have any follow-up questions based on all those questions? Okay. Attorney Cotillo, do you have any other witnesses?
I have no other witnesses.
Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement?
Very briefly. You've heard testimony from the appellant here. He has had indiscretions in his past. I would point out, first DUI, he was 19 years old. The second is more recent. He did successfully complete probation. He has no record of violence, no record of threats. It has been at least 2 years since that time. He's remained out of trouble. Personally, I know that he has matured quite a bit. He has come here and intentionally instructed me that he did not want to be coached. He wanted to make himself available for questioning. And he's been very honest. He's been very honest and very candid with this board, I believe. I do believe he is suitable. I would ask you to find for him. In the alternative, if you are not inclined to find for him, I'd ask you to consider, if you are to find for the issuing authority, I'd ask you to consider an at this time.
Thank you, counsel. Attorney Salas.
So the record before the board, including the appellant's own admissions, indicate that he is not a suitable permit holder. The appellant should in fact consider himself very lucky that it was cleaning staff that found his firearm and not a child or a felon. We ask that the board, in light of all the evidence before it, rule in the issuing authority's favor.
Brief factual, Colonel.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation is for suitability. The revocation is based on an incident that occurred October 19th, 2020 at a bar in Wallingford. The cleaning company around 7 in the morning found a loaded pistol on a urinal in the bathroom. They contacted the Wallingford Police Department and while doing a serial number check, found it belonged to the appellant. During the investigation, it was found that the appellant was there at the bar the previous evening, came in around 10:30, left around midnight, used the urinal, and left his pistol on the urinal. He was subsequently arrested by warrant and convicted for reckless endangerment second. The appellant had been involved with a DUI arrest approximately 6 or 8 months prior to this, in February of 2020, in which he was involved in a serious motor vehicle accident, which struck a tractor trailer from behind.
Okay, comments by the board? Attorney Sinetti.
Yeah. Personally, I don't doubt your sincerity in trying to turn your life around, but I think you need to understand that this is a pretty big ask of the board to say that you went into a bar, you had a drink, you left a bare loaded gun inside a bar, a public place, and even though you say you only had one drink, by definition, it's a bar. So people coming into the bar, their conduct is not going to necessarily be completely sober, and here's a loaded gun sitting on top of a urinal. That's a tough ask.
I considered that. Any other comments? Okay. Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority.
Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
And Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you, board, for its consideration.